I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears preseason is over. Praise the Lord. We will talk about what we saw from Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent in the preseason finale and what that might mean for cut day coming up. All that and more on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, as you and I sit here, the sprinklers at Soldier Field, they're going off. They actually do water the grass, which is nice to know. Justin Fields just got done with a very ho-hum performance in one quarter of play against the Bills. I believe he went 2 for 6 for... we're looking it up.
2 for 6 for 51 yards, Pat. One of those was a 40-yarder.
Ran 3 times. Didn't get hurt. It's the important takeaway. And he was on a pitch count and taken out of the game after he completed a screen on third down on the first play of the second quarter. Jason, did you learn anything about Justin Fields today?
He did throw a little bit in the more intermediate range, which we hadn't seen.
Right.
Because in his preseason debut, all 3 balls he threw were behind the line of scrimmage. He didn't even attempt anything past the line of scrimmage. Second game against the Colts, he didn't play. So this was a little bit more the type of what's going to be required of him during a regular season game. And he wasn't really great. And I think we sit here in mostly the same place we did with Justin Fields at the end of last season, where we see a lot of potential, but all of that is imagination at this point. It has not materialized. Nope. And that's not saying that he isn't going to get there, and he may start the season there for all I know, but he has not shown you that yet.
Josh Allen is Josh Allen. But Josh Allen starts the game. Today marches down the field, goes 5 for 7 for 49 yards, long of 15. They score a touchdown. He takes his helmet off, puts on a baseball cap. He's done for the day. Pretty professional outing. Justin struggles in the first two possessions. They go 3 and out, 3 and out. It's not till the third that they get moving down the field a little bit. He's aided by one of his own scrambles. And then a really nice play over the middle to DJ Moore. DJ Moore catches the ball, breaks 2 tackles, and all of a sudden you got 40 yards. That is, I think, the kind of offense that the Bears will be running when things are going well. But I think what we saw at the start of the game is what happens when things are going poorly. You look at Khalil Herbert, 2 carries for -1 yards. Foreman, before he got banged up, 1 for 9. Pretty pedestrian stuff until that third possession.
It looked a lot like last year, and it probably should, because it was the personnel that was around him was comparable to last year. You've got 3/5 of the offensive line out.
And the fourth guy playing the position that they didn't think he was going to play at the start of the preseason.
White hair? Yeah. And then you don't have Chase Claypool. Like, you're missing a lot of pieces. The only thing really that's different for him out there is that DJ Moore is there. And DJ Moore makes a big difference.
Sure.
I mean, see, DJ Moore is an example. Like, DJ Moore has had a longer career and a more accomplished career than Justin Fields. But when they trade for him, Pat, and say, this changes everything.
Right.
This is going to be like... You know, they didn't say this, but this is what people are thinking. This is going to be the best wide receiver the Bears have had in a decade. I'm convinced of that because I have seen, he's shown you that at every turn.
Yep.
In practice, in games, like short passes, long passes, like DJ Moore is open all the time.
Yep.
I can see it.
You see it?
Have to imagine what that's going to be like in the season.
Right.
Justin Fields leaves you having to imagine a lot. And this didn't really clear up anything for me.
No, I don't think it did. I think that... the preseason, based on the games they played, I don't think you learned much about him at all. And on the practice field, Jason, we've seen him be up and down all of training camp for the most part. He's one of those magic eye things. Do you remember those things at the mall?
Mm-hmm.
Those posters?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of see what you want to see, you know? And if you blur your eyes... Hold on, I'm working out this...
That's not what a magic eye is.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay,
I'm
working this out. Is that... Well, I was going to say Rorschach, but that was a little too... That's a little too on the nose.
You're thinking of like the hologram things where if you look at it from one angle, it's this, and from the other angle, it's this.
There we go. Yeah, if you blur your eyes enough and look at it, you can see flashes... Well, look, Justin threw 2 touchdowns in the first preseason game without throwing the ball past the line of scrimmage. That's great. And then you look at, first 2.5 drives today, and you go, boy, they're not moving the ball at all. You can blame the offensive line, and that's, I think that's valid. You can blame Claypool not being in there. You can you can say justifiably that half their starters weren't on the field today. But then what happens if this happens in week 1?
And all these things have to go right, or else – it's not going to be that surprising when it looks like it did last year, where there are flashes, mm-hmm. there's this great running ability, but then, you know, the Bears are the worst passing team in the league last year. I don't know that they'll be the worst this year, but you're betting on DJ Moore being a major difference maker. We think that he is. You're betting on Chase Claypool being the player he was his first couple years in Pittsburgh rather than right. the absolute nothing he was for the Bears
right.
in half a season last year. You're betting on Darnell Mooney going mm-hmm. back to what he was 2 years ago, 1,000-yard type talent.
Yep.
He may not get 1,000 yards the way everything gets divided up here, but right. like that type of ability. You're betting on all these changes on the offensive line mm-hmm. working. And
yep.
Darnell Wright being NFL ready at right tackle right away. Tevin Jenkins, everything. All of this. You're betting on all of these. You're betting on Cole Kmet taking another step and being better than he's been so far as a Bear. The number of those things that go right, that mm-hmm. the Bears are proven correct about,
mm-hmm.
is going to nudge Justin Fields forward. But the biggest thing that they got to be right about is that he's improved individually.
Right.
And we just don't have proof of that yet.
Jason, in your soliloquy, I was distracted.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah.
There's a tiny mouse walking through the Soldier Field.
Soldier Field's got mice.
Is it a baby rat or a tiny mouse?
That is a really small mouse. I'm going to try to feed it some popcorn.
Jason, do not feed vermin. No.
Where is he?
And he's going up underneath the thing. Anyway.
See if he comes out for the popcorn. I'll keep you guys posted. I was alarmed. You brought up the Josh Allen stay.
Yeah.
I was a little alarmed by how easy he made that look.
Yep.
And the Bears had... he's eating it. He took it. He took it and he ran with it. The mouse came out for the little piece of popcorn I gave him. That makes me feel good. The Bears were out there with most of their starting defense. They did not have their safeties,
right.
either of them. And DeMarcus Walker wasn't out there.
Right.
But most of their starting defense out there. And Josh Allen, like, man, that looked very easy. It looked like if he'd stayed in for the whole game, he scored 100 points.
Would you say that mouse is about the size of, what, a silver dollar?
Maybe it's a very small mouse.
Not taking the tail into consideration.
That mouse could snuggle in comfortably inside a Silly Putty egg, I think. It would fit.
It's about right. I like it. Or maybe, what are the, what's the chocolate? The chocolate one?
Oh, the Kinder things?
Yeah, the Kinder Joy. We'll get to Tyson Bagent in a minute. We will also get to a Bears player who apparently is requesting a trade.
Yeah, there's a bunch of housekeeping things that we need to run through.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to do that now or if you want to hit some more bigger picture things first.
No, let's do the housekeeping. Tyson Bagent was the second quarterback today, like he was in the first game. He was not very good. He had a pass rating of 26.8, went 7 for 14 for 43 yards, threw a pick. But in his defense, he threw the pick one play after Steven Carlson stone cold dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone.
Great throw.
If he's got a touchdown instead of that pick, his pass rating's quadruple what it is. Does this tell you that he's the number two, or does this tell you that they might keep him on the roster and then figure out who's second and third with PJ Walker? What's this show you?
They're going to want to figure out a way to keep him around.
Yep.
And that can be done a few different ways. All of them come with risks because you can't keep everybody.
Right.
You can't look and see the third or fourth guy in every position and be like, oh, you can't let that guy leave. Well,
right.
you can't keep 70 guys on the
right.
roster.
Sure.
So with Tyson Bagent, you have to decide, okay, if you can't decide right now or if you can't say decisively he's better than PJ Walker, mm-hmm. if you're out there in the second quarter against Green Bay and Justin Fields is going to miss mm-hmm. a series,
mm-hmm.
do you feel okay with Tyson Bagent out there?
Yeah.
You probably don't feel that great with PJ Walker out there, but at least he's played in the NFL before. So if you can't make that call right now, you need to figure out a way to keep Tyson Bagent. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you keep him as the third quarterback on your 53? That sounds easy, right? Everyone
right.
would be like, yeah, just do that. Well, that means you got to get rid of somebody else that you like.
Somebody
to
who can,
make room
and
for.
Somebody who can play special teams and help you.
Can you try to sneak Tyson Bagent through waivers and get him on your practice squad? I like your chances
mm-hmm.
of that. Somebody might grab him, but if they do, then they got to put him on their 53.
Right.
So, I mean, I would guess that's what ends up happening. I would guess that they try to sneak Tyson Bagent through waivers and onto their practice squad.
I think he makes the team. I don't think you play him for two full quarters today with some starters in the lineup. If you're trying to, I don't think you can do that and then be surprised if some other team claims him.
I mean, he's making the team in either way, whether you do it your way or mine. He's making the team as the third quarterback today, this point.
Today. And do you want to hear, I've developed a theory, because I don't think this is a either-or proposition with second or third. I think you can carry P.J. Walker and Bajent. I think P.J. Walker can be your veteran guy. I think if Justin Fields pulls a hamstring in the middle of the third quarter, P.J. Walker's probably your guy. But I do think that if it's a long-term injury or if you need a month, then I'd rather see Bajent every day.
Or if you get to a point where the Bears are out of it.
And I think one of the reasons Bajent might make sense is, Jason, if Justin Fields, something happens to Justin Fields, and if he's out for 2 months or half the season or the rest of the season or whatever horrible situation you want to come up with, the Bears might not be, incentivized to win. And if so, maybe playing a younger quarterback is the better move anyway. Maybe Tyson Bajent's ceiling is higher than P.J. Walker's. I think I can say that confidently. But his floor is probably lower. And if his floor is lower, maybe you play the kid, see what happens, and then, you know, then your draft pick looks better, and maybe you know, and then you have a decision to make about whether you need to draft a quarterback again. But I just went about five hypotheticals down the road, but I think it could make sense.
Every team in the league should be constantly trying to develop quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
And you look just this week at the situation in San Francisco with Trey Lance. Imagine that, Pat, trading up and drafting a total bust quarterback at number three overall. Sound familiar? I mean, Mitch went number two here.
Mitch Trubisky looks like Joe Montana compared to Trey Lance, though.
But here's how you clean up that mistake.
Yeah.
You have a seventh-round pick, a Tyson Bajent type, who you develop into something. And you have San Francisco right now, having traded up to take a guy number three. He's a bust for them, at least for now. They unload him for a fourth-round pick. Nobody really cares. Nobody's like, nobody's mad at them because they've got a quarterback.
Right.
They developed a guy who was a seventh-round pick, not that different than Tyson Bajent being one of these undrafted free agents, eighth-round pick, whatever you want to call him. And you just need to constantly keep finding those guys. And that was something that the Bears lacked so much the last few years under the previous regime.
Jason, the Bears haven't found their own guy, much less somebody else's guy yet.
I know, just keep pulling lottery tickets, man. Just,
I mean, that's what the Eagles did. And I mean, in the Eagles, you know, the league is full of former Eagles quarterbacks, including Gardner Minshew, who we saw in Indianapolis. I want to get to the Bears player that requested a trade.
Yeah, I got a bunch of things to run through here housekeeping-wise.
Okay.
And that would be the top of the list, would be Travis Gibson. Source says the Bears have given him permission to seek a trade. It's kind of odd because usually when you're talking about a player being given permission to seek a trade, you're talking about a Jonathan Taylor type.
Yeah.
You're talking about somebody who's a star. Travis Gibson.
That's the guy from Home Improvement? That's the kid?
Do I have the wrong?
The kid actor.
Who's the Colts running back?
Yeah, that's Jonathan Taylor. Oh, okay. Jonathan Taylor Thomas was the JTT. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, I do. I love that show. Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Continue. I interrupted.
What was I talking about?
Back of the roster guys
Travis
don't
Gibson,
request trades.
If you followed the Bears the last few years, Travis Gibson, a guy you probably like.
Yeah.
He was a fifth-round pick from a small school, Tulsa, and turned into a solid player for them, a decent player for them. And that's great. You draft a guy that late, and he's just a decent, even backup-level defensive end. That's a nice find. He's fourth on the depth chart. He's a fourth stringer. Not fourth on the depth chart. I'm sorry, more like seventh or eighth on the depth chart.
Right.
He's a fourth stringer at his position on their depth chart. He's not making the team.
Right.
So he wants to be able to facilitate a trade in the next couple of days to somewhere where he's going to be on the roster rather than just get waived on Tuesday, because that's a given now at this point, is he's either traded or waived by Tuesday. Travis Gibson, 7 sacks a couple of years ago. That's promising. Down to 3 last year. Now you have guys that are kind of cast-offs that have overtaken him on the depth chart. You have an undrafted rookie. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. That is ahead of him on the depth chart. Like, there is no future for Travis Gibson here.
He might have been a better 3-4 outside linebacker than he is a 4-3 end. I think that's probably fair to say.
He may turn out to be good somewhere else in that kind of scheme. Special teams today. Kyro Santos hit a 51-yarder.
Can I stop you just real quick?
Sure.
Would you give up anything for Travis Gibson?
Probably not. It depends how badly I need. Probably not when I can just take my chances on the waiver wire on Tuesday.
Okay. But we're talking about like contingent 7th or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Kyro Santos makes a long field goal.
51-yard field goal. Okay. And that is always relevant, always good. Sticking with special teams, Bayless Jones was out today. Mm-hmm. So Tyler Scott was the return man the entire game, mm-hmm. and he had a 56-yarder. Mm-hmm. So as you keep an eye on that situation, yeah. as much as Richard Hightower tells you at every turn to back off Bayless Jones, you've got one guy, Bayless Jones, who continues to raise a lot of questions, and you've got Tyler Scott doing a pretty good job.
I think Bayless is making the team, although Bayless still hurt, so who knows. Mm-hmm. But you know, when they put Dante Pettis on IR Friday, that ensured that Dante can't play for them this year. I don't know if there's another receiver on their roster who I'd rather have than Bayless, and maybe there is on the waiver wire. I don't know. But on Tuesday, I think he's going to be on the team.
Noah Sewell, the fifth-round linebacker, rookie linebacker out of Oregon, he left the game with probably the closest we can say definitively is a left leg injury. It looked like, Pat, that they were tending to his left knee.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus gave no info on that, of course, after the game, but we did see Noah Sewell in the locker room and in the tunnel, and it seemed like he was in a very good mood.
Right.
No brace, no cast, nothing. So I would infer from that that it's probably not as bad as it looked when he got carted to the locker room.
Yeah, he walked off gingerly, then went to the cart. Sewell's had a really nice camp, and he's a player I want to see. You know, we saw him even in goal line situation in the first drive today when Tremaine Edmonds came out. That's another item on my list, too. We saw Tremaine Edmonds and Yannick Ngakoue today for the first time. They didn't play a lot, but just getting them out there is progress, given where they've been. Edmonds, of course, has been hurt. He's practiced two or three times this week after not practicing since August 2nd. And Ngakoue is building himself up because he didn't have a team at the end of July.
A couple other things. Offensive line, we mentioned that they were kind of stripped down and then got even further stripped down. Doug Kramer, one of their late-round draft picks from last year who missed all of last season, was contending, maybe kind of an outside contender for a backup job on the offensive line. He was starting at center today. That didn't last very long. He ended up leaving, I believe it was his left hand. Yeah, his left hand, I think, was in a hard cast.
Yeah.
So they went to Dieter Eiselin?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they went way down the list there. We saw Deontay Foreman leave with an injury, and I don't think we have much clarity on that, do we?
No, something it was his left shoulder or the left side of some, either in his shoulder or somewhere on in his midsection. He kept reaching over to his left side. Went in the medical tent, came out, did some light running, never went back in the game, but also kept his pads on. To me, if you're reading the tea leaves there, that doesn't appear to be a serious deal, which is good, because it'd be a shame if anything too significant came of a third preseason game here. Anybody else on your list?
No, that's kind of the general roundup of smaller news items. I mean, big picture things that you're looking for here is quarterback situation, not just Justin Fields, but backup quarterback is significant as well. The defense, mm-hmm. looking real iffy on one series. You know, there's a lot more to be seen there. And I guess like one other big picture thing to look at here would be the rookies. And when you're Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, doing this major rebuild, the guys you draft high are going to be very important.
Sure.
So that's Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, Bayless Jones, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Zach Pickens, mm-hmm. Javon Dexter. Some of those guys will be starters this year, but you need to be right on almost all of those guys or it really costs you.
Yep.
It really slows down the rebuild. How do you look at, let's narrow that to just this year's rookie class, the four guys that they took in the first three rounds, the two defensive tackles, the cornerback, and Darnell Wright at right tackle. What are you expecting from those guys as we're now 2 weeks from the opener?
I think Tyreek Stevenson, I'm expecting to play like a veteran. You know, he's making some mistakes, but in general, he looks like he belongs. He had an interception along the visiting sideline today, which not only did he pick the ball, but he did the toe drag thing. And
he didn't think he did that. He didn't think he stayed in.
He was absolutely.
He said, I was so surprised when I got to the sideline and
I mean, he did.
We were on offense.
He looked like a wide receiver. I mean, he was.
It looked very aware and very deliberate. It was really like a real quick two-step.
And I asked Eberflus about it, and Eberflus's answer was that it shows that he has the rhythm and timing of his head coach, which is a rare Matt Eberflus joke.
Yes.
The rare joke.
Right.
Stevenson, I expect to look comfortable. I think Wright will be a mauler, but I think he'll probably have some trouble early on. He should. He's going up against some of the best pass rushers in the world. In terms of those defensive linemen, I'm just really curious to see what the rotation looks like. The Bears are going to start Justin Jones and Andrew Billings, but they're going to play Dexter and they're going to play Pickens. I just don't know. Is it going to be 30% of the snaps? Is it going to be 40? Is it going to be 10?
I mean, the goal is not to end the season with Justin Jones and Andrew Billings starting.
And I think that's a valid goal. And I think that if the Bears struggle through the midway point of the season, you might not see kind of the fire sale stuff that they did last year with Roquan Smith and with Robert Quinn. But I think you might see them pairing some of the veterans off the roster just to open up that opportunity for other people. So I expect... I think if you had to ask me right now which rookie I would bet on to be Bears Rookie of the Year or Rookie of the Year in the building, probably Roschon Johnson. Just
really?
I think he'll.
Wow. I thought you were going to say Stevenson.
Yeah, I mean Stevenson's probably number two, and I don't know who three would be. I mean probably Wright. I think he'd have to be. But you know the thing about Roschon that stuck out at me today, even on the first drive, you know they got third down, they go five wide. Roschon Johnson's one of the guys split wide. I don't think that's something you do with a guy who is only going to be a fill-in running back when the season starts. And the other thing, too, is I think the Bears are going to have a pretty good rushing attack, and I think they're going to be carries to go around for a lot of guys. The volume of carries might not be great, but I think the yards per carry might be.
It's what they were good at last year, mm-hmm. and it's probably what their offensive linemen are best at. Braxton Jones is a lot better as a run blocker than a pass blocker, so there would be a lot of reasons to think that. Mm-hmm. Khalil Herbert, mm-hmm. really like one of the fastest guys that they could turn loose with the ball.
Sure.
Well, probably one of their, I mean, other than DJ Moore, maybe their most electric
ball carrier. If we're talking about ball carriers and not running backs, I mean, you could probably say Tyler Scott and Velus Jones are two people that are going to get handoffs one way or the other. Do you know who else has been pretty quick here?
The mouse, the baby mouse?
Yeah, the baby mouse has been jumping around.
I'm just glad it's good for him that he's still alive for another day. Darnell Mooney, I think, will be a guy
that got depressing really quick.
I mean, it's a baby mouse. Like, I'm surprised the hawk hasn't somehow found a way to eat it.
Fun fact, the last preseason game we did, we were filing, and there was a cat running around in the end zone.
Was that here?
That was here.
No. You're talking this year?
Yeah, this year, the last
preseason.
The
opener, I got you.
The cat and the mouse, obviously, have not met.
Yes.
Do you think we could do a cartoon of a cat and a mouse chasing each other around Soldier Field?
I'm sure you could do one of your drawings about that, yeah.
That's a good one.
One of the interesting things, though, when you talk about them wanting to be a running team is everyone in the league will be trying to stop them from being able to do that.
Yep.
And specifically, trying to stop that with Justin Fields. And you're going to hear some version from other locker rooms until he shows he can do it of – let's make him play quarterback.
Make him play quarterback.
Which I think they said about Mitch Trubisky, and they've said about a lot of other guys that are more.
Somebody said about Justin last year.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick before we go, Jason, is there a single household name that you would throw out there that has a chance of getting whacked on Tuesday?
Well, Travis Gibson would have been probably the guy we'd say.
Yeah, probably.
If you can count him as a household name, I think he's been around here long enough that you could. Kendall Vildor.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not going to cut anybody that could help them win.
Right.
There's not going to be any, you know, salary cap driven mm-hmm. cuts or even like, hey, well, you know, let's make way. Let's get you out of the way for the young players, because regardless of the fact that this is not a perfect roster, this is still a flawed work in progress type roster, they're going for it this year.
Right.
Whatever they can do, they are trying to do.
Right.
If they think that the best case scenario is that this team could win 10 games, they will go all out to try to win 10 games. It's going to be a lot different than last year in that regard. So you're not going to see anybody leave where you're like, wow, I don't know if that's a good idea. That guy could help them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think, you know, I'll have a 53-man roster projection coming out on our website on Sunday. As opposed to Bears teams in the past, I think this one's pretty cut and dry. I think they're like 50 out of 53 that you and I would probably agree on.
The best I can give you is that like guys that have been drafted by the Bears will probably be gone.
That's typically how it goes.
Guys that...
Oh, the ones that drafted by previous regimes.
Guys that have been drafted at all. Like, that's what I'm saying. When you're saying household names, like, it's not going to be Darnell Mooney.
No.
It's not going to be an actual household name. But it'll be guys that you're familiar with because they are guys the Bears drafted. So it will be Travis Gibson, Trestman Ebner, maybe right. the running back that this staff drafted. Kendall Vildor was a Bears draft pick by Ryan Pace a few years ago. It'll be some guys probably like that, Pat, right. where it's like, these are guys you know. If I had to pick maybe one guy, I don't know, one guy that is like a starting level player that you'd have even just a shred of question about, maybe like Lucas Patrick because he's hurt a lot.
Yeah.
He wasn't good when he was healthy last year.
This is the strongest reaction that cut day will bring among any Bears fan in terms of them releasing a player. Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. That'll be it. Tell me they...
Because I still don't even think they'll cut Lucas Patrick. I think they're planning on him as a plan B, as a backup.
Yeah, but tell me they cut Lucas Patrick. Say it.
Yeah, the Bears cut Lucas Patrick today, Pat.
Oh. That's about it.
It's as high as it goes.
Yeah, Tuesday is cut day. The Bears may start to whittle down before that. If anything noteworthy comes of that, we will, of course, be here to talk about it, Jason. Until then, people can follow Jason, myself, and Mark Potash on social media. Check us out in the Sun-Times, on the app, on the website, and in the paper itself. For Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. Should we wait for the mouse? Should the mouse come out?
I keep turning around looking at it now because I'm freaked out. I don't want the thing to crawl up my pant leg or something.
Do you think that's Potsy being here with us in spirit?
No.
Anyway, he's Jason. I'm Pat. We'll be back later. Bye.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.